The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
God's mercy endures forever.
O God, you are the maker of everything and judge of all that you have made. From the dust of the earth you have formed us, and from the dust of death you would raise us up. By the redemptive power of the cross, create in us clean hearts and put within us a new spirit, that we may repent of our sins and lead lives worthy of your calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 496, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Seated. Our Old Testament reading today is a responsive reading that comes from Psalm 51, verses 1 through 17. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against
you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight,
so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing heart. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. You may remain seated as we sing, Just As I Am, hymn number 357.
Thank you. I invite you to go before the Lord in an attitude of prayer. Most merciful and ever-present Lord God, thank you. Thank you for always hearing us when we pray. We ask, Lord, that you help us to not forget to talk to you about everything. Thank you for loving each one of us. For loving each one of us enough to send your only Son, Jesus, to give his life on the cross and raise again from the dead so that we might believe in him. So that we might accept his offer of eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for the victory over sin that Jesus makes possible for us to receive. As we come before you on this Ash Wednesday at the beginning of this Lenten season, we remember our sinfulness. We remember our mortality. We ask, Lord, that you accept the silent confession of our sins. We ask that you accept our desire for repentance and a willingness to allow you to cleanse our hearts and change our minds and our attitudes. Lord, please forgive our sins. Please restore to us the joy of your salvation and the blessed assurance of always being in close relationship with you. Please restore us, Lord, to the newness of life through the power of your Holy Spirit. In the words of the psalm, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and renew in me a willing spirit. Lord, as we come before you, we are grateful for the Christians around us. Thank you for their love and friendship, for their witness of how to follow you. Help each of us, Lord, be good examples of as we live humbly and obediently before you. Please give us the courage to follow you into each new day. Lead us to fit into your plans for us. And please help us to stay close to you, to follow your will and obey your word. Help us to always be mindful of those who do not have the opportunities and privileges that we have. Help us to forgive those who have sinned against us. And forgive us, Lord, for neglecting each other and hurting and ignoring one another and sinning against you. Forgive us for our prejudice, which is based on selfish pride. Please make our hearts clean again so we can joyfully serve you and you can use us as your witnesses. Help us to remember that the sacrifice acceptable to you is a broken spirit, and that a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Lord, thank you for loving us. Please help us to love you more. And we ask that you please hear our prayers in Jesus' name and bless us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
as we continue in our worship with the giving of our gifts and our offerings, I encourage you, if you've not already picked one up, before you leave, pick up this devotional booklet. It's called Jesus is the Anchor of My Soul. And within it, you will find devotionals, reflections from a number of people within our congregation who have shared the anchor verses, their favorite verses, and reflections on why those verses are their favorites. That's the whole point of the ministries of our church, is to help people to draw closer to God and to become more faithful disciples and followers of Jesus. That book is a reflection of the life and the faith from within this congregation of people who were willing to share. As the ushers collect the tithes and the offerings, know that these gifts will go to the furtherance of God's kingdom as we continue to follow God's lead in helping people, both within the congregation and within the community, come to know and love Jesus. Will the ushers please collect the offering? We thank you for these tithes and the offerings that are for your honor and glory. Thank you for providing for us so generously and so abundantly with all that we have and with all that we are. And thank you for first showing your love for us through the person of Jesus, in whose name we gather, whose life we follow, and whose hand we take as we walk day by day with you. All this we thank you for and pray for in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before the choir sings, I didn't warn you about this, but before the choir sings, I'd like to share with you a scripture that comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. And you can stay up. It's only a couple of verses. This scripture actually is part of the Christmas story. And you may remember it. It may come to your mind. What this scripture does is reveal the purpose of Jesus coming to earth. And it ties together Christmas and this evening. Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. When Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to be consecrated to the Lord, the scripture says, and I quote, "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too.'" Unquote. Please give your attention to the Covenant Choir.
She laid you in the
invite you to listen to God's word as it comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Today's Ash Wednesday. And in the life of the United Methodist Church, Ash Wednesday is the beginning of a 40-day period of repentance and fasting, which we call Lent. Interestingly enough, American Methodists routinely practiced repentance and fasting in their small groups, so our church denomination had no ritual at all for Ash Wednesday until 1965. Before that, prayer and fasting and confession was all part of what we did regularly. That service in 1965 had no provision for the use of ashes. The first time the United Methodist Church had an official ritual for Ash Wednesday that included ashes was in 1992. And even then and now, the use of ashes is optional. Thought I would share that with you, that piece of information. Ashes are an ancient symbol, and they have been used in the church throughout the centuries to demonstrate a sign of sorrow for sins, a commitment to seek renewal in the Christian life, and a forced awareness, a focused awareness on Jesus. In reading the accounts of the Bible, sprinkling oneself with ashes has consistently been a way for a person to mark their sorrow and their remorse for sin. It was a recognition of that we are mortal. In the Bible, repentance in dust and ashes was often accompanied by prayer and fasting, and that's what Jesus was referring to in the Gospel of Matthew. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, Jesus talks about repentance and fasting, and he talks about those as an action and an attitude before God and not before people. Jesus says that, I quote, "Whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." That's worth remembering. Tonight is a time for us as Christ followers to focus on the cross, to focus our hearts and our minds on the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Lent is a season of self-examination. It's a time to face the reality of sin in our lives. Lent is a season of repentance, which is admitting our sins to God, confessing our need for God's help, and humbly asking God to help us get back on track with Him, to get back in line with His desires and His goals. Lent is also a season of prayer, both us talking to God and even more listening to what God has to say. Lent is a season of fasting and self-denial, a time of putting away our own desires in order to pay attention to God. Lent is all those things, but Lent is mostly a time when we remember how much our Lord Jesus suffered for us. It's through Jesus' suffering and His shed blood that each one of us can be forgiven for our sins through faith in Him. That's what Lent is. Remembering the price of our salvation is what Lent is all about. It's 40 days of focusing on the price of our salvation. It's about preparing our hearts before God. Now, when you read in your Bible, the Old Testament prophets told the Jews how to prepare their hearts for the coming day of the Lord. You can read that throughout the Old Testament. They told the Jews to turn back to God with their whole hearts, not just when it was convenient, not just during a crisis. And for those who have invited Jesus to be our Lord, God sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with each one of us to comfort us and to help us while we wait for the day when Jesus will return for us. Our job as Christians is to keep our hearts prepared. Our job as Christ followers is to be Christ's witnesses. And preparing our hearts to be Christ's witnesses starts when we're sorry for our sins. Preparing our hearts to be Christ's witnesses continues when we ask Jesus to forgive us, so that He can enter into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit and stay in our hearts as the Lord. Being ready for Jesus to return, that has to be an ongoing readiness as we strive to live obediently before God each day. Ask God to help you to keep your heart clean, not just during these 40 days of Lent or for a few days of ambitious positive thinking, but for the rest of your life. In the church, we talk a lot about the kingdom of God. We look forward to the day of its completion when Jesus returns. And the good news is, it's already started. The kingdom of God is within you. It's like a garden. It's up to you to keep it free of the sinful weeds. So anytime you see a weed of sin or rebellion in yourself, I encourage you to pull it out by the roots and ask Jesus to help you keep your heart clean. Jesus will instantly renew your spirit as you pray, and Jesus will help you to stay close to Him. I found that sometimes the roots of those weeds are sometimes really tough to get out. I know there's times that I have to go after the same sin or the same attitude in my life over and over again, and I wonder if I can ever conquer that sin or that attitude that threatens to undermine my life with Christ. And truth be told, sometimes I can't, but Jesus can. And at those times when I can't do it or I need help doing it, I run straight to Jesus and I ask Jesus to pull out the roots of those sins, no matter how painful it is to me. And I trust Him. I trust Jesus. I give Him the go-ahead to do it. And then I ask Jesus to help me to stay away from those sins, stay away from those places and those things and those people who encourage those weeds of sin to grow in my heart and my life. And Jesus helps me. Jesus renews my spirit. Jesus renews my resolve. And Jesus does the same for all of us. Jesus loves each one of us. And he won't walk out on you. After you choose to trust him to save you from your sins, Jesus is right there with you. This is the season of Lent. And during this time of self-examination and repentance, this time of dealing with the weeds of sin and the gardens of our heart or our lives, I encourage you, go straight to the top. Go directly to God. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says, and I quote, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin," unquote. Jesus is our high priest. There is no rule that says you have to go through anyone else to talk to Jesus. Each one of us can go straight to the top. Talk to God. He's only a prayer away. He's right here, right now. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, and I quote, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him," unquote. Anyone who has enough faith in God to pray has enough faith. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks," here's the promise, "the door will be opened." Those are promises for us. Ask Jesus. Go straight to the top. You will receive all of the attention and all of the first-class treatment from God that you could ever want, that you could ever hope for. Jesus loves you. He loves each of us. And your name is written on his hand. He'll never, ever be angry at you for asking his help to obey him. God wants us to know him personally as our Lord and also as our Savior. God seeks a daily, wholehearted relationship with each one of us. We do our part by taking the time to pray. Pray about everything. No matter what's going on in your life, pray about it. When you're happy, pray and thank God. When you feel sorry for someone, pray for them. When you're angry at someone, don't cuss them out. Pray for them. God brought them to your attention for a reason. If you need something, tell God that you need it before you go ask somebody else for it. You may find out that you don't need to ask anyone else for it. Talk to God first about everything. Talk to God when you're frustrated. Before you yell, "Where did I lay my stupid glasses?" talk to God and ask him to help you find them. If somebody asks you to pray for them, stop right then and there and pray with them right then and there. Don't worry about other people watching. You might be in the grocery store. Pray. Other people may be encouraged by your prayers. Pray when you're bored. Pray for God to protect you before you get into the car. Pray for the other people in the car before you go on the next trip. Ask God to help you to remember to pack everything before you start packing. Ask God to help you when you've misplaced your car keys or your tennis shoes. Get used to going straight to the top to God for every little thing. I found that when I go straight to the top and I talk to God about every little thing, then I stay mindful of God's presence. God's people are a people of prayer. We're always talking to God about something. And if we're not praying, we're not seeking the Lord. And if we're not seeking the Lord, then we're not being a witness for Jesus. If you pray, you have enough faith. God is gracious and merciful. God is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Those words describe Jesus. Jesus is saying these words to each of us. This is Lent. This is a time for us to deliberately prepare our hearts and our lives for Jesus. Talk to him. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to make room in your heart for him to have first place. Jesus loves you. Jesus is not nearly so interested in your past as he is in your future. And Jesus promises to forgive you. Lent is the time to remember that we need to examine ourselves before God. It's also the time to remember that we're all mortal. From dust we came, and to dust we will return. Begin now to stand on the promise of God's presence with you, moment by moment, day by day, even as you prepare to someday go through that valley of the shadow of death. Going through that valley, forgiven and clean before God. This is the time for us to turn back to God. God can use a wholehearted witness far better than he can use a half-hearted witness. And it's time for us to fast by concentrating on turning away from our sins. If you don't remember anything else tonight, remember that you are not alone. God is with you. God is merciful and slow to anger, and he only wants his very best for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.